Amen. All right, Matthew chapter 16, and look with me at verse number 13. The Bible said, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that the Son of Man am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, and one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I tell you what here, man, Jesus gives him a compliment, amen? Jesus gives Peter a little bit of praise. And he's allowed to do that, right? He's allowed to do that. Jesus says we ought not to do it for ourselves, but he's allowed to do that. And he told him that he was a blessed man. And I mean this morning, we are blessed. I said a second ago, we were talking about these songs about the day we got saved. And remember when Jesus saved us, Peter realized who Jesus was. He knew who he was. And because of that, Jesus Christ said, thou art blessed. Man, I tell you what, there's things we know from Scripture that show us how we can know we're blessed. But Jesus straight up told Peter, you're blessed. Amen. And we're all blessed in here this morning. Would you say that you're blessed? Amen. Did I kill the service by playing that little clip? Amen. We're all blessed. God's been good to us. He's blessed us. And the Bible says here, continuing reading in verse number 18. And I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Now, I'm not going to preach on this passage of Scripture, but just to clarify what the Catholic Church and some other denominations teach, that Peter is the rock that God's going to build his church on. That's not what this says. Jesus said, thou art Peter, and upon this rock, talking about himself, I will build my church. Amen. It was not Peter. Now, Peter's name does mean the rock, but that is not what it's talking about. Amen. It's talking about the chief cornerstone. It's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, thou art Peter, upon this rock I will build my church. Now, you got to understand that just before this, we're establishing who's who. Right? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? And he mentions all these great men of the Bible, Elijah and Jeremiah, and mentions these men and these individuals. Man, what a testimony to those men that they said that's who Jesus was. And he goes, well, who do you say I am? He said, I'm Jesus. He goes, all right, now we've established I'm Jesus, the Son of God, and you're Peter. Amen? That we've established that. And upon this rock, he's talking about himself, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I'm thankful for that. Verse number 19, I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he might go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. He established that he was going to build his church, and upon himself the church would be built, and the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And then he told Peter and the disciples that he was going to give them the keys, and that they were going to go forth and they were going to preach this kingdom message. And we're not going to get into all that doctrinally and dispensationally right now this morning, but he does all these things. And from that time forward, he began to only show himself to his disciples. And he told them that he was going to suffer. And he told them that he was going to die, and that he was going to be buried, and that he was going to rise again. That is the definition of the gospel. We find in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1 through 4, the definition of the gospel. It's the death, the burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So he tells the disciples that this is going to take place. Look at verse number 22. this same Peter that Jesus just told that he was blessed. Why was he blessed? Because he knew who Jesus was. Are you saved in here this morning? Have you been born again? You're blessed. Amen. You know who he is. You know what he did for you. Verse 22, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. I have seen people rebuke other people. I've seen smart aleck teenagers rebuke their parents. I have seen rebellious church people rebuke their pastor. And none of those things ought to be so. But Peter rebukes the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see that here? Peter, you're blessed. I'm going to give you the keys. And you're going to be this great disciple for me, preaching about the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to suffer. I'm going to die. I'm going to be buried, and I'm going to rise again. And Peter got the big head. Peter thought he knew better than Jesus. Now, I'm not going to give Peter too much down the road here. Brother Ellis said the other day, he said he heard a guy preaching on Peter, and man, he preached Peter in an awful light. And Peter did some pretty dumb things, just like you and I do. But when that young man got done preaching, and I mean, he gave Peter down the road, and he never let up. The guy sat down next to Brother Ellis, and Brother Ellis said, "That was good preaching, son." He goes, "But do you know you're going to be in heaven with Peter one day?" He said, "You could have at least gave him an out that he ended up getting right with God. You never let him out." All these people that just heard this story, they think Peter's awful. He's like, "You know you're going to meet him one day, right? Us preachers get up and we preach about these Bible characters. And man, look how wicked they were. And we're going to stand face to face with them one day." Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Peter messed up right here. Saying, "Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee." But he, Jesus, turned and said unto Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Capital S. Thou art blessed. Is that what it says? Well, he just told him he was blessed. You know what he said? He said, "Thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Peter went from being told, "You're blessed, and I'm going to give you the keys, and you're going to do something great for God." The next thing you know, it appears that Peter got the big head and said, "Lord," he rebuked God. He didn't just make a suggestion to him. "Lord, can I say something? I really don't think this is going to happen." No, the Bible said that he rebuked the Lord Jesus Christ. When you rebuke somebody, you're not being kind about it. Amen? I tell my kids all the time, if I tell you to do something or I make a statement and you don't think it's correct, you don't correct me. You can say, "Yes, sir, Daddy. May I ask you a question? And if I grant permission," then you can say, "Daddy, I thought that such and such and such. And if I was wrong," I'll say, "You know, you're right, Ella. I'm sorry." Amen? Is that all right? But she should never come up to me and say, "You're wrong." Man, I see kids do that to their parents sometimes. It makes my skin crawl. My backside heats up all over again from my youth where I remember where I made that mistake a few times. Amen? Peter walks up and he rebukes the Lord and said, "No, you're not right." And Jesus Christ says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." I want to preach for just a few minutes this morning on going from blessed to an offense. Going from blessed to an offense. I have seen people that get saved, They've been in church a little time. They've got some Bible standards. They've got some Bible convictions. Man, I tell you, God's been good to them. And they go from realizing that they were a sinner saved by the grace of God that deserved hell to knowing it all. They have gone from being blessed and having a grateful attitude about what God has done for them to knowing it all. And now, instead of continuing to be a blessed person that's a blessing to others, they're offensive to everybody they're around. They're offensive to the church. They're offensive to people they meet. Why? Because they get this pious attitude. They get this position that Peter himself found himself in, where he said, Lord, it's not good, where he begins to rebuke the Lord because he knows better than God. And there's nobody in here that knows better than God. You don't know better than this book. He says, get thee behind me, Satan. Let me say as a way of introduction, that's an awful accusation. I mean, that's an awful accusation. If Jesus Christ was to walk in here this morning in person and walked up to somebody, walked up to Brother Jeff and said, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, if I said that to you, amen, it wouldn't mean near as much. But if Jesus walks up, he's not joking around. That's an awful accusation. I mean, I've seen people before say, man, they're full of the devil. You say, man, that's awful to say about somebody. It is. And some of them are slap full of the devil. They may be saved and they're born again and going to heaven. The devil can't have their soul, but they're full of the devil. They're doing the devil's bidding. They're doing his work. And so that's an awful thing. But Jesus himself said to Peter, get thee behind. That's awful. It was also an accurate, not only was it an awful statement, it was an accurate statement. Why? Because he was hindering the gospel. His statement was hindering the gospel. Can you imagine if Peter would have left out, if he would have left out, David, if he would have left out from there preaching what he just said? Think about it. Jesus said, I'm going to suffer, I'm going to die, I'm going to be buried, I'm going to rise again. And Peter said, not so, Lord. And he rebuked Jesus. What if Peter would have left that day and that's the gospel he preached? He's not going to suffer. He's not going to die. Jesus immediately recognized this as being a hindrance to the salvation. That's a strong accusation to say to somebody, get thee behind me, Satan. Are y'all following me this morning? I want to ask you a question this morning. Is your life, is your walk with God, is it a hindrance to the gospel, or does it further the gospel? Amen? I'll amen myself this morning if I have to. It was an awful accusation. It was an accurate accusation because what he was doing was hindering the gospel. And it's also a very alarming accusation. Can you imagine Peter just being called blessed? God said, I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Go out and preach the gospel. And then he says, get thee behind me, Satan. Have any of you ever been rebuked by somebody that was old enough and had the authority to rebuke you? How big did you feel? That big. I remember several times in my life where my dad or a pastor or somebody would call me in, a basketball coach. Man, I remember one time we played in the national basketball tournament down in Tennessee. We were up in Ohio. Our school had won state. We won the state championship, and we were going to Tennessee, I think Dayton, Tennessee, to play in a national tournament. And we get there, and he tells us, you guys rest. We have a big game. So you know what I did? I went and played street basketball for 4 hours. And a couple other guys did. And I remember the coach getting, and we played the game and we lost. And I'll never forget our coach sitting us down and said, I told you to rest. We had a big game. And you guys, all you want to do is go out there and play and exert all of your energy playing when we had a big game. And that's one of the rebukes I'll never forget. You say, well, that doesn't sound that bad. You should have been there. Has anybody ever been rebuked like that before? Amen. None of these signed totem kits today ever have been. It's a very alarming accusation. I can imagine Peter was sitting there, and if you notice, he didn't say anything else after that, did he? I've seen, none of this is in my message, but I've seen children, their parents get onto them for something they do and they immediately snap back at them. Or a pastor, man, I've counseled people before and said, hey, this is what the Bible says, this is what you should do, and they always have something else to say afterwards. Sometimes it's best just to keep your mouth shut and say, I'll obey the book. Amen? So Peter, all of a sudden here, it's a very alarming accusation. Can I say this? You say, why would Jesus say, get thee behind me, Satan? If the words of Satan are in Peter's mouth, then he should be addressed to Satan. And Satan's job is to hinder the gospel. And I'm afraid we have people today that are in our churches that they have taken it upon themselves. Now, they would never say this, but their actions are a hindrance to the gospel. They're a hindrance to the furtherance of the church. They're a hindrance to the ministries of the church. Peter is being compared to Satan. You understand this morning that Satan is a discourager. Amen. I'm just going to give you these few things. We're not going to turn to all these scriptures. But Paul over there, when he's talking to the church of Thessalonica, he said, we would have come unto you, but Satan hindered us. Satan is a discourager. Satan is a deceiver. He's a destroyer. He's a divider. He's a distractor. He's a denouncer. He's a doubter. He's a devourer. He's difficult. He's divisive. The Bible tells us not to be ignorant of his devices. He's a discreditor. The Bible says he's an accuser of the brethren. Satan's job, one of his jobs is to go around and accuse everybody. Jesus paid for it on the cross. He paid for your sins, past, present, and future. He put them all under the blood. The Bible said he cast them all in the sea of forgetfulness. Amen. As far as is the east is from the west, God took care of your sin. Even the ones you made yesterday. And you, after salvation, you might sin and mess up, but thank God that you can confess them to him and get right with him. Not to get saved again, but get your heart right with him. But you know what the devil does? The devil reminds you of it. That's what he does. He is a accuser of the brethren. He's a discreditor. You say, I want to serve God. I want to give out tracts. And he's going to tell you you're not worthy. That is what the devil does. He's a dominator. He's full of pride. Amen? He wants to control your life. He wants to control everything about you. Satan has used individuals throughout the ages to do his work. He's used people all through the ages to do his bidding. I'm not going to go over all of them, but, you know, Jezebel. Amen. That was Satan's sister. And he still has sisters. I meet them all the time. Amen. They are direct descendants of Jezebel. They don't know when to keep their mouth shut. Amen. I'm not getting on that part yet. Balaam. What about Ananias and Sapphira? It came time to bring the offerings into the church house. And they came in and they said, we're going to sell the land and we're going to give all the money to the church. They were in a camp meeting. Amen? And they said, we need to take up some money. And this guy said, I'm going to sell a car and I'm going to give the proceeds to the church. Hallelujah, praise God. And they're going around the room and Ananias and Sapphira said, hey, we have some land and we're going to sell the land and give all the money to this project. And everybody in the camp meeting shouted, hallelujah, glory to God. Did I tell you the story about Kerry Johnson one time, my uncle, at a camp meeting? We were at a camp meeting one time, McKenzie, and it was a camp meeting where they were taking up items for a youth camp. They said, we need toilet paper. And one church would get up and say, we will donate all the toilet paper for camp this year. We need 200 rolls. and we'll give 200 rolls. And everybody said, hallelujah, the Lord provided. And they're going through toilet paper and paper towels and cups and all these things. And then we got down to the big stuff. Food. And they said, we need eggs. And somebody said, hey, I got a chicken farm. I will provide all the eggs. And everybody was shouting hallelujah. Me and my uncle were there. Y'all know Carrie. Amen. Big lovable Carrie. We're sitting there, and the preacher said, we need a hog. He's like, we need a hog because we can have bacon and all that stuff to feed these kids at camp. Does anybody know somebody that has a hog? And Carrie raises his hand, and the whole place erupts. Hallelujah! Praise God! He provided a hog! And Carrie looks over at me and goes, what just happened? I said, you just donated a hog. He goes, no, I didn't. He asked me if I knew anybody that had a hog. I had to call that preacher and say, brother, I'm sorry, you're not getting a hog. Ananias and Sapphira were in one of those meetings. And Brother Isaac was given, and Brother Nick was given, so I'm going to get in on it. We're going to sell this land and everything we have, we're going to give. And all of a sudden, they get the money, and they didn't realize they were going to make as much as they did on the land. They didn't know it was worth as much as what it was. And they got it, and they said, listen, that's a lot of money. They probably don't need all this. They said, we're just going to give a portion of it. We'll keep the rest for ourselves. Y'all remember the story? Amen. So they went into church. Ananias went first. And he goes in there, and he's bebopping in there, and they're taking up the offering. And like most women, the wife's running late for church, so Ananias just went ahead and went on to church without her. All the men are afraid to say amen right here. It's the truth. Women run late. Amen. My wife's not in here, but I would tell her she was sitting here. They run late. Thank you. So Ananias went on. Amen. And so he comes in there, and he goes in there, and they took up the offering. He put the money in there, and Peter immediately says, why have you let Satan fill your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? Immediately, I can imagine, just like Peter's been on the other end of this. Amen? Peter's been on the other side of the coin. Why have you lied to the Holy Spirit? Why has Satan filled thine heart to lie? And he falls over dead. Aren't you glad that God doesn't do that to you today? Amen? I don't ever, 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 ever preach on money here at the church. I don't know if you realize that. It's not because I have a conviction about it. I forget about it. We don't pass a plate. Amen. Don't shut down on me on money. I don't ever preach on it. It's like once in 6 years. We got two boxes in the back. Amen. We believe in tithes and offerings. You say, well, tithing is not New Testament. Tithing is something that God installed a long time ago, and it never stopped. God never stopped. Now, in the New Testament, we have another form of giving called missions giving. All the verses about a cheerful giver and all those things, that's an above and beyond offering. That's above the tithes. They say, tithing's not New Testament. No, tithing never stopped. God instituted it, never stopped. A new form of giving was introduced in the New Testament, and it was missions giving to send out missionaries. Y'all okay? It never stopped. A tithe is a tenth. That's what it means, it's a tenth. So whatever God has blessed you with, it's a tenth of that is a tithe that he asks his people to bring to the church, to bring to the sanctuary so the work of God can go on. Now, when you got saved, a lot of folks said, hey, I'm going to start tithing. I'm going to start giving. Praise the Lord. You and God said, I'm going to get my giving right. God blesses you for doing that. You know that? You can't outgive God and say, I'm going to give 10% of what God's given me. Amen. Stimulus checks, side money. I'm going to give 10% of whatever God's done. And then all of a sudden, time goes on and bills or whatever. Or maybe you made more than you thought you would. And you said, well, I'm just going to give God a tip. Instead of giving a tenth, I'm going to give God a tip. I'm going to tip him $10 today. Amen. And I don't know what everybody gives. I see it at the end of the year when I sign the thing and hand it out to everybody, but I don't know what everybody gives. But you know, there's some folks that if you're tithing on what you make, we need to support you. Amen? Because I don't know how you're eating or buying gas or anything. It's real quiet. I don't ever preach on tithing. And brother, I'm sorry, you're a visitor. I don't ever preach on tithing. I don't. I don't know why God told me to sit here for a second. Satan has filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost about money. Amen. It's 10%. And you know, that'll be the first check you write. So I don't have enough money to pay the rest of the bills. You give God His, He'll take care of the rest. He's always done it. He's never failed me. Amen. And then when you're able to, and God touches your heart with faith promise missions, you get your tithe, and then you give above and beyond and say, I'm going to help support the ministries of this church, the missions and the things that we're doing. Amen. That's above and beyond the missionaries, faith promise missions. And man, God just blesses it. And all that scriptural. And Ananias went in there and said, why has Satan filled thine heart? We got people in churches today, Satan's still filling their hearts. It's a lie to the Holy Spirit of God. And then Sapphira coming in late from church. Doesn't know where her husband is. And she comes in and she goes, hey, did y'all see our offering? And he goes, you too? Somebody said, well, she was just obeying her husband. No, she was in on it. There's a difference between obeying your husband and submitting even when he's wrong and being in on it. I could take Sarah and we could go rob a store today and she could not like it, don't want to do it, kick, scream, I mean, all, but she's going to submit to me because I'm her husband and not like it at all and pray that God kills me and that God, you know, and we go do all that and God won't hold her accountable at all for just obeying her husband. But she could go in there and go, ho, you get another one of those stacks. I've been eyeballing this necklace. Would you, hey, grab two of them. Can't you get another one? Now she goes from just being submissive to her husband to being an accomplice. Sapphira was an accomplice. She falls over dead. And I got to finish preaching. None of this was in the message at all. Man, I'm glad God doesn't do that today. Could you imagine Brother Bobby walking by the plate and dropping it in there and then falling over dead? Amen. Man. Hey, giving would really change in a church if that happened. Amen. You say, do I give on? I don't even know why I'm on this. You give on the gross or the net. Amen. There's a great debate on, do you, on your check, do you give on the gross or the net? I give on the very top. Amen. You say, well, the government takes out their part. That don't belong to me. No, that's you paying your taxes. Amen. I give off the very top. Is that all right? And I give. And you know what? It doesn't hurt you to give more than what you're supposed to. God's not going to say, oh, I can't bless you because you accidentally gave too much. I give off the very top. My insurance comes out. That's something I'm paying for. The taxes come out. That's something I'm paying for. People say, oh, that's not my money. They're just going to take it from us. Well, that's fine, but that's still, you got paid a wage and they took their part. That's fine, but you had to pay that. Amen. I give on that. I give on the stimulus. And anybody wants to ever say anything about my giving, go talk to Brother Bowen. Amen. He'll show you the record. I practice what I preach. You know why? Because God blesses it, and He's asked me to do it. I give off of a tax return. If I do a side job, I give off of it. Amen. Why? God's blessed me, and He's asked me to bring a tenth to Him. I mean, I don't want to just give God a tip, and I always round up. Amen. It's so quiet in here. I always round up. I mean, I see people give a tithe and it's $23.24. So, man, they are getting that tenth down to a, you know, and they give that once every 3 months. All right, move along, Andrew. All right. There's people that have done Satan's bidding. Amen. What about the damsel in Acts chapter 16, a certain damsel that had the spirit of divination? That's the spirit to be able to foretell the future. Now, I've never personally met those people. I've seen them on the side of the road in Gatlinburg that can tell your future, but I've met a lot of women that can't forget the past. Amen? It's a rough crowd today. But this woman could foretell the future, and she goes around mocking the men of God. The Bible says she had a spirit. And she goes around mocking the men of God, saying, "These men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation." Ha, 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 ha. They're supposed to show us how to be saved. But she had this spirit of divination where she could foretell the future, and she's mocking and making fun of them. The woman ends up getting saved. Amen? And then the men that made money off of her ended up getting Paul and Silas thrown in prison and beat because they couldn't make money anymore. Amen? Different people have been used to do Satan's bidding all through Scripture, and there's more illustrations. But then we find Peter here in our text. He says, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me." You know, I really, truly believe that there's people today that are doing the devil's work with a religious tongue. You know, there's some churches, Brother Jim, the devil will never have to visit that church because there's people and they're doing a fine job. There's people in that church that are doing Satan's work. Why would he need to go visit there? They're doing a fine job. There's people in the church that are discouragers. Amen? Y'all want Brother Buster back? Amen? There's people that are discouragers. They might not tell you that, but their ministry is to make sure everybody's discouraged. Hey, look what God did for us. Yeah, but what about that? What about Eeyore? Amen? Y'all remember Eeyore? There's some people, the devil never has to show up at our church to discourage somebody because there'll be somebody there to do it. There's some churches that are that way. There's no reason for the devil to come discourage us because he's got you. The devil's divisive. There's people in churches that are divisive. There's always some kind of thing luring. There's people that love drama. That's another D. The devil's dramatic. And there's people that they love drama and they got to keep it stirred up. The devil has no reason to go visit that church. Because there's somebody doing his bidding. Do you realize what Christ was telling Peter? You're doing the work of Satan. Get thee behind me, Satan. You're hindering the gospel. You're an offense. You're a stumbling block. You're a hindrance. And there's people that are in churches that do the same thing. Accuser of the brethren. They'll never let you live anything down. It happened 2 years ago. It happened 10 years ago. But they're never going to let you live it down. The devil doesn't need to do it. The devil doesn't need to come discourage you, Brother Isaac, because somebody's going to come along and do the bidding of Satan for him. Satan's bothered me today. No, it wasn't him. It was one of his saved minions. Who at one time was blessed and God, the touch of God was on him. And man, God used him in a mighty way. But now they're saved and they got some standards and they got some convictions and they know a little bit about the Bible and now they have the answers. Amen? And all of a sudden we have people like Satan doing the bidding of Satan. God tells Peter that he is an offense to him. Is that not what the Scriptures say? John Wesley had this to say about this Scripture. He said, "Our Lord is not recorded to have given so sharp a reproof to any other of his apostles on any occasion. He saw it was needful for the pride of Peter's heart, puffed up with the commendation lately given to him." Sometimes God blesses us, and that blessing turns to a curse because we think we're somebody. We're nobody this morning. I mean, I know you didn't come to church to hear that, but you're nobody, I'm nobody. He is everything. God gives grace to the lowly. God's best gifts are on the bottom shelf. You got to go down to get them. Amen. May He be lifted up and us brought down. Amen. And Peter finds himself in a dangerous position. And I'm, again, not giving Peter down the road because we're guilty of some of this stuff. I can't tell you how many times I have found myself in a position where another brother or sister in Christ, and I'm talking to them, and whenever they leave, they're discouraged. because me knowing it all, and I'm going to tell them something. Amen? I'm preaching to myself. I'm going to tell them something. And then they leave so discouraged. And Satan goes, well, I didn't even have to visit them today to discourage them because Brother Andrew did it. Are y'all getting what I'm trying to preach this morning? This is what God laid on my heart. Let me ask you a question this morning. I'm finishing. Are you an offense to Christ this morning? Are you a hindrance to the gospel? You might say, well, you don't know what they did, or maybe whatever. I'm telling you, if you discourage somebody, or you're bringing up things that have happened in the past, you're doing the work of Satan. Man, that doesn't sound good, does it? That doesn't sound good. God put it under the blood. And you say, well, maybe they haven't got right. That is God's business. Do I need to go back to the revenge message? That's God's business. Don't do the work of Satan. Don't always bring it up. Amen? We find here where Peter is doing the bidding of Satan. Satan has no need to visit the average church because his work is already being done just fine. And that's sad. Let me just give you three scriptures. I'm going to read them to you. You can write them down if you want to, and I'm done. Romans chapter 14, verse 13. Let us not therefore judge one another anymore, but judge this rather, that no man put a stumbling block or an occasion to fall in his brother's way. Don't do Satan's job. Make him work for it. Amen? Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause division. The devil's a divider. Mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Amen? Galatians 5, 15. But if ye bite and devour one another. That happens in churches. Amen? There's a pastor the other day that started a church, and he's trying to get the thing off the ground and going, and somebody in his church said, we need to have monthly business meetings. And so he thought about, I said, why would you introduce a problem into your church when there's not a problem? Amen? I know of churches right now that are arguing every Sunday over something. Every Sunday they have an argument session. They might as well call it that, because they all get together because they're trying to discuss something, and they all get together and they argue and nothing gets done. And Satan's sitting back like, man, they're destroying the church on their own. Take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Let me remind you this morning, church. You're blessed. God's been good to you. God's given us a book. And thank God for standards and convictions, and thank God for standing on His Word. But don't forget who you are and where you came from, and that He's everything and we're really nothing. Amen? And don't do Satan's bidding. You're a child of the King. The King of kings and the Lord of lords is living in me. So why would I help Satan? Man, we're supposed to be joining together to fight against him. Why would I help him? But every time I bite and devour, accuse, discourage, I'm doing his work. We ought to be helping one, encouraging one another. Amen? All right, let's all stand. I'm not even going to give an invitation. I'm going to go hide in my office. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Going from a blessed to an offense. Amen. I love our church. I love the unity in our church. I love the spirit that God's given us. It's been good to us, hasn't it? And I don't ever want to see nothing happen to it. Amen.